You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
20 high school kids that put on this workshop for the younger students in the middle schools to help them understand some of the things they have to deal with as teenagers and the stressors and the self-esteem issues, the divorce issues, the academic issues, the peer issues, and how they can do that without picking up a drink or a drug. So the kids that are here today should be on chemically free honor rolls because they are committed to a chemically free lifestyle, which is quite a challenge for teenagers today. So bear with us on Radio Rehab today. There's going to be a lot of noise, but we're going to interview some of the youth staff now, some of the guest speakers. You're going to be hearing a lot of young people in the background because when they're not in workshops, they are wild and excited about, they're high on life, and that's quite a neat thing to be a part of. So welcome aboard today. Enjoy the journey with us. Hang out with us with 300 teenagers, and they are going to tell their stories and what this is all about. So I'm going to introduce some of the youth staff right now by name.
My name is Ryan Frank. I'm a junior at Memorial, and I have not picked up a drink or anything so far, and hopefully I'm keeping it that way.
That deserves an applause for a junior. How about you?
I'm Jenna Martin. I'm a sophomore at Memorial, and I also have never picked up a drink or a drug.
Wow.
I'm Abby Warner. I'm a freshman at Memorial, and I have not picked up a drink, and nor will I.
Wow, that's a commitment.
My name is Ellen Barberger, and I'm a junior at Memorial, and I'm committed to changing and keeping myself on the right track.
I'm Max Blackbracky. I'm a senior at Memorial, and I live a substance-free lifestyle.
Wow.
I'm Taylor Hinton, and I'm a junior at Memorial, and I also have not picked up anything.
Well, you're not related to Dr. Hinton, are you?
Don't believe so.
Oh, okay. He's a psychiatrist here. Well, no wonder she hasn't picked anything up. Anyway, this is quite an accomplishment to talk to a group of young people that are committed to not picking up a drink or a drug. Is that difficult for you all to stick with that commitment?
Yeah, it is pretty hard because just the people in high school think that it's cool to do something like that, or maybe it'll help them become, you know, part of a good in crowd, and it'll make their experience better. But really, if you just stick with your friends and you realize what's really important, you can have fun, you can have the real high school experience without having to have all that.
So we hear a lot in the adult world about peer pressure. Is there peer pressure to drink or to use other drugs? I know marijuana is very popular, pills are very popular in the school. Is there pressure to do that?
Yes.
So how do you all that are committed to not, you're kind of the minority.
Yeah, in a way, yes, because people, like in our, especially in my grade, I've noticed in the last year, people that I used to be really good friends with have switched over because we're kind of like a segregated grade. Like there's people who you know drink and they know, and then there's people who they know don't drink and they don't really bother you about it.
How about you? Is there some pressure being a guy?
Yeah, I think like a lot of times I think guys have a more of an image of drinking and having fun in high school and partying. And I think I've been blessed to have a group of friends who, I have some friends who drink and do stuff like that, and they're still really good friends, but they don't pressure me into doing anything, and they know that I'm going to have just as much fun not drinking and not taking any drugs as I would if I was. So peer pressure for me has, they've made it fairly easy on me, but I know some kids suffer from peer pressure and sometimes give in, so it's not always easy.
Especially the people that are trying to fit in, like a lot of times it's easier for them to give in because they want to be a part of something and they think that if they do give in to that peer pressure that it's going to make them a part of something, but really a lot of times it doesn't help at all.
It makes them a part of something, but it's not something that's healthy to be a part
right.
of. So do you all judge those kids that do? Because on Radio Rehab, these are all a lot of guests that are in recovery that have crossed that line into addiction and into bad use of drugs and alcohol. They're clean and sober. Some aren't. But do you judge those kids that do, or do you still try to involve them in your life and activities, or do you have to distance yourself from them?
We try not to judge them, but they're free to make their own decisions, just as long as they try not to mess with what we're trying to do and how we're trying to live our life. So as long as they don't bother us, then we kind of leave them to their own devices.
But like you had said, it seems there is this wall of the haves and the have-nots, those that have drank and drug and those that have not drank and drug. Is that pretty typical in the teenage world, no matter what school you're in?
Yeah, like coming in as a freshman, a lot of people I've seen change, and a lot of people that said they would not do anything have now. And most of my freshman class drinks and smokes already now, but I've surrounded myself with, like, good people. But there is, like, a set boundary. Like, those are those people, and they are the only people that go to their parties. And those people that don't do things are just, they just stay away, and they're just, like, two separate groups, like a big clique at Memorial.
Like a big divide.
Yeah.
So do you all talk openly to your parents? Are there adults that you talk to about those issues, like alcohol, drugs, sex, or are those taboo things to talk to parents about, and it's easier to talk to other adults about?
I'm open with my parents because that's how I gain my trust from them. So they know I wouldn't go off and do anything. So they kind of know a lot of the things that go on. So
now some of you have already seen this happen in your life, right? With a friend or a sibling or a parent. So you know it can happen to anybody. You know what I mean, Max?
Yeah. I think kind of as you get older, I think a lot of times as you get older, people think that because you're getting closer to the age where you're legally able to drink and stuff, it's okay. It becomes more okay. I know, like, next year when you get to college, a lot of people think that you're in college now, you know, it's all right. It's completely okay to drink. And so as you get older, and I'm a senior now in high school, you know, a lot of the friends that didn't drink as freshmen, didn't drink as sophomore, you know, they kind of dwindle into a group that does drink. But I don't judge them in any way.
Right.
So, like I said, some of my best friends drink, and it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, they're still perfectly fine with me, and we have nights where they don't drink, and you just hang out. So,
you know, in my day, we heard a lot about self-esteem. A lot of people would start drinking or using drugs because of self-esteem issues. I don't know. It doesn't seem that's the main thing anymore. It seems there are kids with high self-esteem that are starting to drink or use drugs that are accomplished and functional in their schools.
I think, though, a lot of people who drink and they seem like they have a really high self-esteem, that might be – a lot of people who act like they have the highest self-esteem in the world, it's to overcompensate for the self-esteem they really don't have. And in order to try to gain that back and be able to act that way and be able to feel okay about themselves, they might go into the drinking and drugs. So I think that even the kids that may seem like that they're perfectly okay, it may seem like that they're, you know, they're perfectly fine with themselves, are the ones that have maybe the biggest issues that they really need to work out and find another way to deal with.
Radio Rehab audience, if you hear some excitement now, it's that they've gotten out of their first workshop, so these couple hundred kids are going to be having a good time. So bear with us with their excitement in the background. So what you all are saying is, even though somebody may act like they have self-esteem, it doesn't mean that they really do at their core. Is that right?
Right. A lot of times I think it serves as kind of like a cover-up because they don't want people to know that they have problems with self-esteem and self-image issues. So they do that stuff to cover up, be like, and they try to put on a show that, hey, I have a high self-esteem, I'm fine, but it's a lot of times just a cover.
So it's not really authentic. It's just a defense mechanism, something we use to defend ourselves so nobody knows how bad I really feel inside. Do you think those kids are more vulnerable for using drugs and alcohol than the kids that really do have good self-esteem?
I know from experience with my sister that she puts up a front and she tries to act all tough and has this front with everything, and she will go out and drink and she'll go out with guys and not do good things. And
how does that affect a sibling when it's your sibling that's making bad choices?
It's hard on me because I have two younger siblings and I don't want them to look at me that way. And it's hard because my entire family knows things that my older sister has done, and it's kind of embarrassing in a way because I don't want people to look at me in that kind of way, and now I have to stick up for my family is how I feel, and it's hard losing an older sister to that kind of thing.
So the family, the other siblings, end up feeling they have to pick up that slack and try to bring pride back into the family, give the parents some bragging rights. Do any of you guys have this issue, too, in your family or neighbor? Or?
Yeah, I know I do. Like, I have older siblings and I have younger siblings. And I think when you have older siblings that might get on the wrong track, it's really hard not to, you know, put it on yourself and not to be like, oh, you know, it was my fault because, you know, we didn't, you know, love her enough and she just had to go and do things like that. And then at the same time, you have to make sure, like, you try to give your siblings that extra attention so that they don't grow up and they don't go off that wrong track, too. So it's like you're trying to take care of everybody, and it's a really hard thing to do when you're at our age to try to take care of other people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a lot of friends who have older brothers in my grade or who are younger, and I think that if their older brother or their older sibling did drink or had that reputation of being a drinker and a partier, I think sometimes younger kids come in thinking that they have to follow the same path as their brother did because they have to live up to that reputation or that's how they saw their older brother or their older sister, so it's fine for them to act the same way.
Role modeling is so important, and a lot of the research has shown us that a lot of young people's first experience with a drink or a cigarette or a drug is with a sibling or a neighbor. Or, you know, just somebody closer to the family. It's not the big dealer in Indianapolis we need to worry about. It's in our own neighborhoods and in our own classrooms. Do you all agree with that? That's more a threat than the big dealers.
Yeah, because they affect us more on a personal level, like especially if you have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Like a brother. I had a really good friend my freshman year who...
Oh, Mom does this. She has my shoes.
Do you want to say hi to Radio Rehab? Tell them what you're learning here at Snowflake.
Hello?
Oh. It's the radio. You're on the radio.
Oh, I am.
McKinley, say hello.
Hello, this is McKinley Warren.
And why are you at Snowflake?
Because I'm learning not to do drugs and not to drink. It's awesome.
How are you learning that at Snowflake? Didn't you know that before Snowflake?
I did, but this teaches you a lot more. And you just learn a lot more here.
And you're meeting friends.
Meet more friends, yeah.
And drugs. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So what grade are you in?
I'm an eighth grader.
You're an eighth grader. Cool. Well, come back and talk to us after you go get your stuff. We're on the radio right now, so you're welcome to come. And here's some other folks coming. Come on down to Radio Rehab. Angie, you made it through. Our keynote speaker today. Ange, say hi. You're on the pump.
Hey, Lisa.
You're on the pump radio right now. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm great.
How did you survive talking to 300 teenagers?
There was not that many. I don't know. How did I survive,
her two daughters are here, too. You guys say hello to Radio Rehab.
Hello. I'm Maddie.
Maddie.
Hi, I'm Mackenzie.
Mackenzie. And what the heck's your name?
Angie.
Angie.
So, how does it help
a bunch of teenagers to hear from a mom that's suffering from alcoholism? How does it help teenagers to hear adults share, gosh, I got in trouble with alcohol? Why did you think your mom should share today?
Was it a benefit or was it a problem?
Yeah, it was a benefit. I think that they can learn a lot from people that have already experienced it, and then they don't have to make the same mistake.
Do you all believe it when I tell you one out of four of the kids in this audience is going home to a family member they're concerned has a drug or alcohol problem? Yeah. So you all have an Angie come and kick this off. It's at least talking to one out of four of those kids that has a mom like Angie that had a problem with alcohol. You survived it. How did it go? This is the first time you shared your story in a while. Now you're on the radio.
Well, I kind of feel like it was blah, blah, blah. Like
not at all.
Connected, but after hearing from other parents and other kids, I think connected something.
Well, it connected because you were real. And kids need us to be real. Kids need us to be real. Ange, how old were you? We're going to have to take a break in 2 minutes, but I want to hear more from you and from these guys. How old were you the first time you picked up a drink?
14.
You were 14, eighth grade.
Between eighth grade and freshman year.
Just where all these couple hundred kids are.
Yeah.
exactly.
So who did you know that you were doing something that was going to be dangerous for you when you picked it up?
I think eventually I realized that. I didn't think it was, like, that big a deal because everybody else was doing it whenever, so I didn't think it was a big deal at first.
Kind of part of the norm.
But it didn't take long to realize that I wasn't drinking like the rest of the kids were.
You were hogging it up.
Okay, Radio Rehab. I was considered the Bogart.
You were you were the girl that could put them all under the table. Radio Rehab, we have to take a break right now, but just because our sponsors want to tell you about what they have to offer the community, so we will be right back. Welcome back to Radio Rehab. We are at Snowflake Live in St. Ben's School's basement. And believe it or not, we are down here with 300 excited teenagers committed to a chemically free lifestyle. And one of the things they do at Snowflake is hear from people that have been suffering from the real deal, people that have been through alcoholism, drug addiction, how it's affected their family, how it's affected their neighborhoods, how it's affected their schools. And the first speaker has been a dear friend of mine since the middle 80s. She's still shook up, but she shook up because she's excited. She's excited. She's clean and sober. She has wonderful kids. She's here sharing with all these other young people and adults. So I want you to meet Angie and let her tell us a little about herself.
Hi, Angie.
Hi, Lisa. So you were saying before break, you started using at 14?
Yes.
And did you go into heavy drinking right off the bat?
I really did.
Was there social drinking for you?
No. Being brought up in the family, and I didn't mention this today, but we're a bunch of Catholics.
Yeah, and we know for every fourth Catholic, you'll find a fifth.
So,
we know about that. Do you think that played a role, your religion?
Well, not so much religion, but, I mean, when we all gathered with other families, we all
drink.
Yeah, and back then, it was okay to have a sip of your dad's beer or your mom's or your aunt and uncle's as you take it to them. Or they'd say, take a sip, forgive it for me, or get it for me. So, or there would be, like, this much left in a bottle, which is just an inch. And then we'd take off and go to our bedroom and drink it, and we would get sunny.
So you liked it right from the start.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think religion has anything to do with it.
No, I don't think religion.
The buzz or not. No.
No, I just meant
we tease you Catholics a lot.
Yes, you do.
I know. Yeah. I do. Definitely. But I don't think religion. I think religion helps us get and stay sober. Do you guys think your faith plays a role in how you deal with stress in your life? Faith is important.
Yeah.
In any stress. So I think our religion, our faith is important. But thank God in the programs of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step programs, you have a God of your own understanding. It doesn't matter what religion you are to get sober. So back to you. Enough about that. You were telling the kids that you, as beautiful as you are, I wish Radio Rehab you could see this woman. She's absolutely beautiful, isn't she?
Yeah.
And that you, okay, enough with her. Let's talk about me. Okay. As beautiful as you are, you didn't think you were.
No.
Wow. Do you think that played a role in your choices at all?
I think it played a huge role because whenever I started drinking, I didn't mention this either. I felt beautiful. I felt glamorous. I felt like, wow. It was on. It had the wow factor for me.
Yes. So do you think out of all these 300-400 kids that are here today, the kids that feel they're ugly or that feel they're overweight or feel they're not smart enough or athletic enough are more at risk for picking up a drink or drug?
I think that if they choose to take a drink or drug, that they're more at risk of feeling those feelings and feeling better about themselves, and it taps in all that.
Yeah.
Not saying they'll turn to that so that they will feel that way, but if they do turn to that, they will feel that way.
Yeah. So we were talking before you all got here with kids and self-esteem. Is there anything do parents know when, do you guys talk to your parents if you're feeling shy or backward or insecure?
I can talk to my mom about anything. Like, I go to her for everything.
Yeah, that's Jenna. We all can go to her mother with anything.
Yeah. Gotta love Mama Martin.
Yeah, Mama Martin. So, do you guys feel you can go to your mom? Mm-hmm. And she's kids. Both her daughters are here. Did you all feel you could go to your mom if you felt insecure about anything?
Yeah, she's always told us that no matter what it is, we can always go to her. And actually, a lot of our friends go to her with whatever they're dealing with. And she's just there for listening, whatever it may be.
She really is. But don't you all have some, were any of you insecure? Are any of you insecure young people?
I mean, I still have times where I feel like that, but when I was younger, I definitely was. Like, I was kind of, you know, overweight, and I never knew, like, the right thing to say, and, like, it was just really hard getting through grade school for me. And I just think that the main thing is that you can get through that without having to turn to other things. Like, if you just stick with a good group and you, you know, just realize, like, what you can really do, then it'll all be okay.
Do you think parenting has anything to do with the way you adjust in life?
Yeah.
Parenting does.
Yeah.
In what way?
Because depending on how your parents enforce certain things makes a difference on how you perceive them. Like, I have a friend who his mom drinks and his dad smokes, and he now does drugs and stuff, and I'm guessing that's part of, like, he's thinking that he's seen people do things wrong his whole life, so maybe he's thinking that's not as bad because I see my parents and they're doing fine. So
it's role modeling.
Yes, in a way.
So if you have a parent that smokes a cigarette or that drinks a lot of booze and tells you don't drink, you're higher risk because you see your parents over drinking, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, even though maybe parents don't, like, drink and do drugs heavily as parents, but they always use the thing where back when they were in high school, they did it, and so, you know, it's okay. You know, I did it when I was in high school, and so you can do it. I think some parents kind of use that as a reason to let their kids do that or maybe not enforce something. And, I mean, my parents have always, you know, they may have drank and they may have done drugs in high school, but they never used that as an excuse to let me drink in high school. So I think that plays a big factor in it.
Do you, Angie, did your parents drink around you?
Oh, yeah.
So it was a socially acceptable thing to do.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
All the families getting together. But that was in the 70s.
Right.
It was okay. I mean,
right.
My brother got pulled over one night, had a case of beer. Cops pulled him over, poured out their beer, and sent him on their way. I mean,
that was before Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
That was even
before drunk driving.
Before had, before everything.
Yeah. So did your parents know that you were insecure?
I didn't tell my parents anything. I told them what they wanted to hear,
mm-hmm.
but didn't tell them the real things going on.
Did they know you were drinking at 14?
Heavily, though? No, not to the extent.
And again, it was just part of the thing going on then. So how now do you as a parent deal with the threat of your daughters and son?
I know it's out there, but my kids, they're involved in PAC and Teen Power and Snowflake because it's what they want to do. And maybe I'm naive. I don't have the fears about that. They come to me. I mean, Kenzie went somewhere last night that normally most parents would probably be like, oh, no, she's not going to that. She went, and I had no fears, no worries, because she's called me before. Maddie knows she can call me if she's at a party and feels like, okay, there are things going on here I'm insecure with. No, I don't have those fears. I'm blessed. I mean, because we have that communication and trust.
So do we need to encourage other parents in the listening audience to have openness?
Talk and be there, and when they're telling you things you don't want to hear, listen anyway. Keep your mouth shut and listen and love them for who they are.
Oh, that's a great message. It's so hard sometimes when you see your kids making bad choices. Like you all said, some of your friends that have gone left instead of right. It's hard to see that. Mm-hmm. Hold on, Angie.
Don't even think you're getting away. Radio Rehab, the woman that is coordinating this whole snowflake just walked in, and I just want her to say hello. Yay, this is Coach Lensing who puts this on. I don't know why. She's an idiot. 300 teenagers to live with for the weekend. Angie, how do you coach? How do you do this, and why do you do this?
Oh, boy. I do it because I strongly feel this is a powerful message and that kids need to be educated and know that mistakes can happen and families aren't perfect and there's alcohol and drugs involved in people's families that disrupt normalcy, and kids need to know it's okay. It's not; they shouldn't be ashamed of something like that. And it's a beautiful weekend.
It really is. And Angie was just saying it's so important to let your kids be authentic and real, and talk to them about what's going on. Do you think that's what Snowflake really is designed to do? It's a weekend of just being able to be real, not think about ABCs or soccer or basketball or swimming, but just to come and be real with each other.
Absolutely. I think the speakers all instill a beautiful message, and then in their family groups, they have the opportunity to talk to high school kids and to open up and not worry about who they are or, you know, who's listening to what they say. So it's an open retreat weekend that kids hopefully feel safe, and hopefully they leave here with something in their heart.
Would you say you all are changed people after this weekend?
Yeah.
From last year.
What?
From last year when I was an eighth grader. Last year, like exactly a year ago, I went through a really tough time with my sister, and she had gotten sent away, and I came to Snowflake, and it really helped me with a lot. Like, and I remember Coach Lynn saying, you helped me a lot too, and it was really hard, but it helped.
It's so hard to see a member of your family with this sickness. Do you all believe that it is an illness, or do you think it's a willpower issue?
Do you believe it's an illness? Most people get sick.
I think it's both.
It's both.
Because even when someone feels like they have the willing to, there's probably, it can be something that's more genetic and more like it's already been there, more prone to it.
Do you all think willpower would put cancer in remission?
You mean like willpower can do that?
Can willpower put cancer or heart disease or diabetes? Can it? Willpower make that go away?
It can't hurt.
A long track, Radio Rehab. These kids, we need to do some educating. The American Medical Association determined that alcoholism was a disease, an illness, in 1954. So the American Medical Association, that's why there's so many rehabs. We believe people need treatment. That it's an illness. It's not a willpower issue. Willpower won't work with alcoholism any more than it'll work with diarrhea. You all try that next time, okay? Angie, educate these kids. What do you? So we believe. I know Angie, and I know both of the. And I know they know that this is an illness. But truly, I think a lot of you guys probably think your friends that end up in trouble. If they had the right willpower or right self-determination, they wouldn't have gone that route, right?
I think it depends on how much they actually drink. Like, right now, it's just social drinking, so that's more, I think, just the...
Try it.
Just not being able to just stand up for what you really believe. And
do you think it's okay to recreationally drink when you're in high school?
No, not really. It just leads to bad things.
There's always the consequences of getting caught.
Yeah, oh boy, I know, I work in the courts. That's not a good thing to get caught.
Blackouts
are a symptom of alcoholism. Social drinkers don't have memory lapses. Ange, they're needing you back there to be the great coordinator that you are, but how many years have you done this now just before you leave?
This is my eighth year.
Is there anything you could say to the parents and the adults of our community that they need to know so that we can make the world a better place for our young people?
I think, and Angie may have already mentioned it, that as parents and adults, we need to love our children and to accept and be willing to help our kids out through these difficult times that they're going through and know that it's okay instead of forcing those kids down that same path.
Do you think parents also, they need to listen and know their kids? Do you think And I know you teenagers hold your ears. Do you think parents need to watch what their kids are doing, where they're going, who they're with, even in high school?
Yes, I think, without a doubt.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Yes. They have to be active in what's going on. Kids may not like it, and that's okay. But we as adults need to know where they're going and what they're doing and things like that. Ask questions.
See, I think so, too. But you wouldn't believe the parents I meet that say, well, I don't want to get in their business.
I think there's a difference. Yeah.
They are my business.
Yeah.
And that goes along with the communication and trust factor, though. I mean, if you don't know where your kids are or who they're hanging with, then where's the communication and all that, and how do you expect them to come to you?
Yeah.
How do you expect them to talk to you and when you have issues? And
so communication's key. And Snowflake, oh, there's Mama Martin. Snowflake Teen Power is a place where there's a lot of communication. Hi, Mama Martin.
Hi, how are you?
We're on Radio Rehab. Thanks for joining us. You've been doing this for a million years. Do you think it's... we're both dinosaurs in this. Do you think there's a difference in young people today as opposed to young people 5 years ago?
Probably not a difference, but the way things are handled is different. Kids are kids. They're no different than I was 20 years ago.
20?
Is it 20 years?
It's about honesty here, Mama Martin.
Oh, okay.
When did you graduate high school?
77.
Yay, the 70s were a good year.
And if things were the way they were back then, the world would really be in a mess. I will. Mm-hmm. But what I would say as a parent, have your nose in your child's business. You can do that without them knowing it.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we're pretty good. When the kids leave, we'll let you tell us the secret.
Well, just ask questions. And whatever subject it is, ask questions. If it's drinking, if it's being promiscuous, whatever. So...
Mama Martin's saying ask questions, and Angie is saying and listen to the answer.
Absolutely. And you can just not even ask it in question form, but if you've got an open line of communication with your kids, they'll fill in the blanks. You don't even have to ask them. Just be there.
I don't want to make you all nervous, but the person videotaping us is doing this because you're going to be on YouTube. So, Angie, you adults are saying ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask. You're saying listen to the answers.
Well, I want to stress to the kids, too, just because we're asking doesn't mean we're accusing.
Oh, good point.
And it's just that constant connection.
Constant. Oh, the word connection. That's what Snowflake's all about, connection.
Well, yay.
Wow, do you all feel connected here?
Yes.
Is that part of the strength of Snowflake, you think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Why can't we do this in our schools? Have a Snowflake Day every day at our schools?
Because people don't connect as well inside of school. I think outside of school, here, people feel more open. And, like, I feel like the people that we are here on staff, we're obviously saying that we're not doing those kind of things, and then the kids feel like they can talk about that. But I feel like if it's school, there's the other people that do, then it's a mixture, and they're getting a mixed message more than a just straightforward. But they should.
School's kind of formal. We could wear T-shirts here at Snowflake.
Yeah.
So, Angie, this is the first time you've really shared your story in a while.
No, it's been longer than that. I hadn't shared my story since the relapse. It's been since probably 2005.
And you had been clean how long before the relapse?
18 and a half years.
18 and a half years. That's older than some of these kids. You've been clean and sober.
I know.
Wow. So we're vulnerable every day, aren't we?
Yeah. Today I'm very vulnerable. Not so much now that it's over, but... Probably so beforehand.
Just getting up in front of a lot of people or reliving your story?
A fear of embarrassing my children in front of their peers.
They embarrass themselves. Don't worry about it.
I know. But, no, and you're laying yourself out there.
Were you all embarrassed? Is it embarrassing to have a mom that's an alcoholic?
Not at all. Like, we grew up in Alcoholics Anonymous, and... Like, we've known her story, and
there's not really very much embarrassment at all. I think it's a chance for people to hear something that's actually real. It's not something that they see on TV. It's people that they know. It's my mom. My friends come to her to talk to her about their problems, and she's just sharing her story.
God, it's like you all said, the connectedness. You all know, we can hear about Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan, right?
Yeah.
But here you all know and love each other, well, and that makes a difference.
This just proves to me what a great mom Angie has been.
I know.
Because she's got her kids' support.
Yes.
And if she wasn't so fabulous with her kids, those kids would have blown her off a long time ago.
Yes.
But she's been there, and, you know, she's not going anywhere.
No, we're keeping her now. She's exposed.
That's right.
Wide open. So, you know, we talk a lot about recovery and relapse on Radio Rehab, maybe not enough about relapse. You had 18 years and then relapsed. 18 years of beautiful sobriety, but a lot of trauma and a lot of loss. Do you think some of that played a role in your rehab?
Partly not. I think, and you don't ever know this until you have the gift of hindsight, but even after 18 and a half years, there were still things inside of me that I had never taken the opportunity to tap into that drove me to do certain things. And so, you know, there's a guy I know in recovery that says it's like peeling an onion.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I've still got a lot to peel, but I've come to see so much more of the things that I thought I had taken care of that I hadn't.
Yeah, and Angie, well, you relapsed after 18 years. How long did you stay back out there and relapse?
July 3rd of 07 to the last night was October 31st of 07. So November 1st of 07 is my new sobriety day.
Wow, so you were out there for a while, a couple months. Yeah.
3.5, 4.5.
Right. Did you all know that she had relapsed?
Whenever she relapsed, I had come inside and asked why she wasn't coming out because we were swimming, and she had said that she had a beer, and I went outside and I told my Uncle Zach, and he got angry. Then he came inside, and then he took us to the park, but he told us that she really didn't, and I think that probably was best for us because if we had known that she was drinking all that time, I don't know what would have happened.
I remembered when you came to Teen Power,
mm-hmm.
and you wouldn't talk, and you were so sad. You said, I think my mom's relapsed, and I was, what? Your mom's relapsed, Angie? Wow, I'll never forget your face of hurt. And then you came to the family program. Had you admitted you had relapsed, or did you try to keep it secret for a while?
Oh, Lord, you try to keep it a secret, but you know how we are when you're drinking. You
can
you reek of alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Being as vulnerable and young as they were.
Maddie, how old were you?
Was I 12?
Did you know it?
I was 11. But, no, at the time I didn't know it. The first time I found out was Halloween, and I didn't know until later on that night that it wasn't just that night. It was like,
because they keep questioning me, Mom. Mm-hmm. What am I smelling on your breath? What is that? What? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's nothing. It's a different kind of gum. Mm-hmm. It was the hard stuff. Exactly. I wasn't really drinking beer.
You went for the gusto.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd always heard, because I'd never relapsed, that our disease lays dormant all that time. It doesn't, like, lessen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pick back up again, it is alive, well, and kicking, and you pick up where you leave off.
Absolutely.
And so what I had heard, I never believed that. Well,
you freaked it.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I know for a fact, and then some, and it goes even faster and harder once you do.
So what can you all as young people do if you know that somebody in your family group that you meet while you're here this weekend tells you they have a parent or grandparent or auntie or cousin or sibling that they know has been drinking or using drugs?
The main thing would be, if they wanted to talk about it, just make sure that they know that it's not any of their fault, because, like you said, it is a disease. You know, I went through that, you know, with someone I knew or someone in my family who went through that, and I thought that it had been me, that I hadn't been a good enough, you know, person to them. And they just, if that happens and it's someone close to you, you just really need to know that it's something, they're not doing it to hurt you, and it wasn't something that you did to hurt them.
That's a great point. All of you have said that. Let these kids know it's not their fault. You with the sibling, did you think it was your fault for a while?
Not too much, but I had known that she was doing stuff for a really long time, and I had kept all her lies and secrets that she told me, and now I have a huge guilt inside of me that I could have stopped her from everything she has done, because still to this day, she's turning 18 next month, and from her freshman year, she just still messes up and does so many things, and I know I could have done so much to stop that, and I never did because I was too scared, and now I, as a sibling, live with that guilt, and my parents know that I kept stuff, and I hate myself for never saying anything, and I know I could have stopped her from what she's become now.
Do you, okay, Ange, could you, what is it with you all and your guilt anyway? We need to make a guilt, not a quilt. Good God, there's guilt all over this place. What do you, could she have stopped her sister?
She couldn't have stopped it. And, you know, normally I know where you're coming from, and I've heard people say, you know, loving your children isn't enough to make you stop, or loving your spouse or whatever. They were a huge influence in helping me stop once they truly found out, and I didn't want to put them through any more, you know, pain, but you couldn't have stopped her. There is no way you could have done it. You're just a stupid sister. You're not a keeper of the secret. That's right.
I'm like a prisoner.
I just have secrets. Yeah. Oh, good word. Do you all feel like you're prisoners when you keep secrets? How many of you have kept secrets? Have you all kept secrets before, Max? Do you guys keep secrets, or is that just a girl thing?
I mean, only when, you know, like, maybe a parent might find out or something, but my friends are pretty open about it. So.
I mean, do secrets keep us prisoners?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think you come eat at you inside.
It does. I think so.
She really wasn't that good of an older sister, as I look at it now. If she just threatened me with all, like, these secrets, and you can't tell mom and dad, and it was hard because for years I couldn't look at her, and I wish I just told my parents when
I... Your parents, well, guess what? I know your parents, and they are awesome, and they knew.
Yeah, like, it caused a lot of fights and tensions between my mom and my dad, because sometimes my dad would just, he wouldn't want to believe what my sister was doing, so he would take her side, and it caused so many fights between my mom and my dad. But then when all the secrets came undone, my dad realized that my sister was really doing all this stuff, and he just felt awful. And now, you know, my parents don't fight as much as they used to because they have each other's back with everything now. So
they're on that united front. It does conquer a family stability to have somebody in it that has an active addiction. Did you fight with the kids more than you normally would have? Or
I think I did. Well, in my own memory, I think I tried to make things more fun so that I wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb. But, and, I mean, they might be able to answer that better than me. I was oblivious.
Did you two siblings fight over your mother's, like she was saying, you know, she kept a lot of secrets for her sister. Did it cause stress between the two of you when she was in her addiction again?
Well, I don't really know because we didn't fully know, I guess, at the time. And I don't really know.
What about with your father? Did it put you in the middle with you and your father?
Well, we didn't want to be over to his house, so we'd, like, try to stay at mom's house. So whenever we were there, we didn't really talk to him.
He didn't listen, so don't worry.
Yeah. It might have caused a little bit of tension because every time Maddie would say something like, "Mom, what's that smell on your breath? What are you doing? Why are you acting like that?" then I'd just be like, Maddie, it's okay. It's not a big deal. And Mom would say, Mackenzie, tell her. And I'd be like, tell her what? And I never knew what she was talking about. And like, she'd just be like, Mackenzie, tell her. And I'm like, all right.
She was drunk.
Maddie, she's fine. But that's like pretty much the only tension, I guess.
So did your friends, do you all know when a friend has that going on in their home? Do you all know? Do friends, are you all pretty open if it's going, you didn't?
I mean, well, me and Maddie are really close. Like, we just kind of start becoming really close, and before that, I don't really think either of us really knew our background on each other, but now we know, and we both are really open with each other, and we have each other, and that's so important to have.
That connection again. But it's not something people are real open about, I guess. We still live in a society, like what you said or somebody said when they heard you were talking here at Snowflake, they were like, her mother's an alcoholic? Like, that's still a dirty word.
Oh, I'm sorry I even asked. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mackenzie. I'm so, so sorry.
She was like, I was walking out yesterday, it was walking out, and somebody came up to me, and he was like, so what's your mom going to talk about? And I was like, her alcoholism, her drug addiction. And he was like, I think I'm just going to stop talking now. I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's all right.
Like, she's got a brain tumor. So there's still a lot of educating we need to do, isn't there? There's still. So next year, Ann, you can get involved in Snowflake maybe, and we could do some workshops.
Or Team Power.
Or Team Power, and do some workshops where they're learning about it. Okay, have you all done Team Power yet? Because they learn about how it affects the family at Team Power. So most of you have done Team Power. So it is a place where they do learn. Because really, people don't know. They do think, ooze, cooties. Alcoholism, drug addiction. Your sister was an addict. Ooh, I'm not coming to your house. Like, it's contagious. So we do need to do more education.
It just dawns on me. Here they're hearing their parents say, you don't drink, you don't drug, you don't do that. That's awful. That's bad, bad, shady people, shady, shady.
Right.
And then, you know, you say, oh, well, my mom's an alcoholic. Well, then they're like, wait a minute. Shady, shady, bad, bad. I'm so sorry.
Right.
I'm going to stop talking about this.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, in closing up, I want us, each of you, to just kind of go around and share what you really hope you get out of this weekend. We know you're imparting a lot of your heart and your heads onto a couple hundred young people, but what do you as staff and your kids, what do you all hope personally this weekend experience will do for you? I know what it's already done for you, but you can say.
Forgiveness of myself, peace of mind, an opportunity for my kids to believe in me.
You are somebody to believe in, for sure, absolutely.
What am I going to get out of this weekend? Okay. I guess.
For that too, didn't she?
I think that I just hope to not only get out for myself, but for people to hear my story, hear my mom's story, and know that they can come and talk to me or come to my mom and talk to her, and we're not going to judge them. I mean, like, I've lived through it. Like, if their parents are alcoholics, if they're going through something, they know that they can come and talk to me. It's not something that I'm going to judge them for.
Her connection. Your connection. You're opening doors.
Yeah.
Mine, it's kind of similar. Like, being on staff, you really want to just provide that support system that other people need, and we want to be able to be there for them if they ever want to talk. Like, even if they don't open up this weekend, we want them to know that they can always come to us and talk to us about family problems or just anything.
Awesome.
I guess it's like, well, for me, like, I didn't want to talk to anyone about it because I felt like no one else was going through it like I was, and so I'd like keep my feelings to myself and just like shove them out of the way. And then if, like, one little thing made me mad and it was really little, then I'd just, like, explode over everyone. And then, but I guess it's so that since I was talking, then if anyone's going through that too, then they know that I went through it and that I can help them through it.
Thank you.
Like, I'm speaking on, there's this thing called team panel that we do tomorrow that I'm speaking on, and I hope that, you know, what I can say and what
I can tell them about things that I've gone through, hopefully can help them with their own struggles and help them maybe if they know me, understand me better, and just be able to help them in the future. Especially, I have a sister who's an eighth grader, and I mean, I just want to be able to tell her and her friends of her age that high school can be different if they want to make it different.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm talking on the team panel tomorrow too, and I just want to get the point across that high school, people say high school changes you, and it does, but if you stay to who you really are, it won't change you. If you surround yourself with good people, that, you know, it won't change you unless you make yourself change for that reason. And you don't have to go into high school drinking nothing. It doesn't make any cool of yourself or anything. Thank you.
I'm a senior now, and I think just experiencing when I was little, there was always, I've always played sports and stuff like that, and there was always that one or two guys that you always looked up to who was a senior, you know, you wanted to aspire to be like, and it was cool to see that those guys didn't drink, and so I kind of want to be that guy or that person for the younger guys who look up to me, and even like younger girls, you know, that so they can look up to, you know, somebody who's in a similar situation.
God, we all need someone to look up to, don't we?
Yeah.
Thank you all for looking up to me. Okay, next.
I'd just say I want to get it out of Snowflake that I should keep doing what I'm doing and not give in. And also, I just like to help, just even if it's one person, just one person, if it's in my family group or just a random person, you just smile at them. Okay.
You know, I hate to depart because this has been so exciting to talk to you. The hour went so fast, and so much an honor to be listening. Here at Snowflake, the young are teaching the old how to live. And just so you all know, at Radio Rehab, we will be videotaping and taping tomorrow's team panel, and it'll be on Radio Rehab again in the future, a more specific, in-depth interview with young people that have been through a lot of these issues. Thank you all so much for being here. Who rules?
Lisa.
Between now and next week, Radio Rehab, don't forget to do the next right thing.